We're talking today with Mark Hodges with Plains Grains and Oklahoma Genetics. Mark, let's talk first of all a little bit about this 2012 wheat crop. It continues to be a very interesting crop, well ahead of normal development, almost to a point of being a little scary.
It is scary, and of course, you mentioned well ahead of development. We're 2 to 3 weeks ahead of development in Oklahoma, but that's also true in Texas. It's true in Kansas. The guys in Nebraska say they're at least 2 weeks ahead. Colorado says they're 2 to 3 weeks ahead. The whole region is well above their average plant development stage for this point. And, of course, we've seen that before, but always before it's been related to severe stresses, drought mainly. I don't know, at least in my career, I don't know that I've seen it because the temperatures have been as warm as they are in the winter, spring and winter. So it'll be interesting to see how this crop turns out from a yield standpoint.
So, you know, what's really caused this thing to be uniformly from really the top to the bottom of the hard red winter wheat belt to be able to be this far ahead of normal?
Well, of course, those winter temperatures and spring temperatures have been well above normal, but it's not just the highs. If you looked at the nighttime lows, we just never got really cold at night. And just as a rule of thumb, wheat will continue to grow above 42 degrees. So, you know, if you look at those nighttime temperatures, it really didn't get very cold at night, and I think that's a big contributing factor. And then this spring, of course, there's no snow cover in the northern U.S. and a lot of Canada. So those fronts that were coming down weren't nearly as cold because it got warmed up as it came across that landmass because it wasn't coming across snow. So I think all those were contributing factors. But I don't know that any of us have seen this kind of development this early.
So here we are, you know, just approaching mid-April, well ahead of normal. This gives us, of course, a little bit of fear about if we get a cold snap, what kind of damage could be done?
Yes. I mean, we've been extremely concerned about that, even all the way back to March 1st when we saw the development we had and looked forward to, you know, we've had late freezes in mid-April, and we were really concerned. Now, the positive side of what we had looked at, and maybe a mitigating part of that is what I just mentioned about no snow cover in the northern U.S. and into Canada. And the Mesonet was probably the first to point this out, that snow cover wasn't up there. And so I guess we were a little more encouraged that a late freeze probably wasn't as likely because we didn't have that snow cover north. But yeah, it's a concern. The other concern was again, not knowing what the conditions were going to be like as far as if we started out this warm early, were we going to get quote-unquote hot, you know, before we ever got the grain field done. And if you look at the long-term forecast, you know, next 10 to 20 days, we're projected to stay cool, which is perfect for grain field. We're supposed to be under 85 degrees, and what we really need is, you know, plenty of moisture in profile, which a lot of places or most places have that. Temperatures below 85 degrees, which we're predicted to do that, and sunshine. So, you know, it's looking good right now. And of course, we have fingers crossed. You never want to, you know, say a whole lot before it's in the bin, but because a lot of things can happen.
And we really don't have any major pests or diseases or weed problems. I mean, maybe weeds as much as anything, but just not that much.
That's right. And of course, that's also a little bit surprising because, you know, the conditions have been fairly favorable to the development of stripe rust or leaf rust. And there is a little bit of stripe rust around, a little bit of leaf rust around, but generally we're in pretty good shape. And, of course, our crop in Oklahoma is far enough along. Even if we had a pretty major outbreak, I just don't know how much damage it would really do at this point. Obviously, it'd do a little, but I'm pretty encouraged at this point, but again, a lot of things can happen. And as you said, as warm as it was in the winter and early spring, it allowed a lot of insects to develop earlier than they normally would have. And again, that was a concern early that we might see more green bugs than normal or other vectoring insects for diseases. And it just it just hasn't developed, which is good.
I guess what at this point we're almost where we've had enough moisture to take this crop on through. As far as seems, we're so far ahead of normal development.
We have, and of course, I always try to give that exception. You know, the exception is, and I've been out into the Panhandle, and once you get west of Hooker, it really, the dry land wheat especially, really starts going downhill in a hurry, and you can really see it's a dramatic change. And of course, if you looked at the drought monitor maps, you know, that central Panhandle, i.e. Texas County, is really still in a D4 condition, and it's very visible when you go out there. Now, the irrigated wheat looks really good out there, and of course, again, no diseases or insects, but, you know, they just haven't had much moisture out there. So a little concerned about dry land, especially in the center part of Texas County, but the rest of the state really looks pretty good.
You know, what's your best guess at this point when we may see some combines rolling, first Texas and then into across the Red River?
Oh, I think we could be cutting wheat in central Oklahoma mid-May, and I think that's just an indicator of where we are now. This cooler weather, and again, if that 10 to 20-day forecast that I mentioned earlier holds true where we stay cooler, it'll slow the crop down some. But really, the rule of thumb has been 6 weeks from heading is when you're going to start harvesting. And you know, we had heading in especially in South Texas as early as well. So, you know, again, we're still going to harvest going to be 2 to 3 weeks ahead of normal starting in South Texas and headed north. So
we'll see a lot of this crop harvested before Memorial Day.
That, in Oklahoma, that's correct. That's true. That's true. And I've been in Kansas recently as well, and the producers up there think they're going to be harvesting 2 weeks early, minimum 2 weeks early as well.
You pay a lot of attention with Plains Grains, with the sampling that you do that has been very helpful to our both domestic and international buyers. You pay a lot of attention to the quality. With these type of conditions, what are you anticipating about quality for this 2012 crop? Or can you really make a projection at this point?
More than maybe a projection, some thoughts about what we're going to start looking for. And the kind of conditions we have would be favorable to the miller from the standpoint of a larger berry size, less shrunken and broken, high 1,000 kernel weights, which equates out to higher mill yield. So we would look for a crop that's probably going to favor the miller as far as mill yield. But on the other hand, even if adequate nitrogen is down in the profile, these kind of conditions, which do not stress the plant, are not favorable to accumulating nitrogen. So, and nitrogen equates out to protein. So we are going to be looking at protein pretty closely early to see where we're at. Now, a short protein crop doesn't necessarily mean it's not a good milling baking crop or a good baking crop. But again, that even makes more important the idea that we need to test and find out what kind of a loaf of bread that wheat will make, even though it may be lower protein, because we've had numerous examples of 10-8 protein making just as good a loaf of bread as a 12% protein wheat. So we just need to get out there and test and get that information to the customer as quickly as we can so he can adjust whatever he needs to adjust.
When you've got several years now under your belt with Plains Grains as far as getting this data, and it's being utilized by customers, the end users of wheat, you know, what have we learned gathering this much information about the Southern Plains, the hard red winter wheat belt?
Well, I think we've reinforced what we already knew, but we've reinforced it and maybe have convinced the customer of the value of getting out and testing and knowing where the qualities are, because we've always known that a quality that might exist within a certain area this year may not exist there next year or last year. So we have to do the testing to understand where that quality exists and where the customer needs to go to get that quality. So we've reinforced that. But I think what we've also done is been able to define, as I mentioned earlier, just because it's not a 12 protein, it may be sub 11 protein, but it may make just as good a loaf of bread and be just as valuable to the customer mm-hmm. as a 12 protein, and he wouldn't have to go somewhere else to look for it. And I think that's really what we've been able to do is, again, reinforce what we already knew, but also convince a customer that he doesn't have to have the numbers. He has to have the performance. And so that's kind of what we've tried to define.
Okay. Director for Plains Grains, Mark Hodges, joining us today. Ron Hayes with you today on the OklahomaFarmReport.com.